the Bureau really has an advocacy responsibility in that sense. But I also believe that the Bureau has a responsibility to be a kind of a prophet, if you will, and I say that for want of a better word, in terms of anticipating for the department critical issue areas that are of concern to women that we must take the leadership in addressing those issues as well. And I would label under those kinds of category being able to actually mount model programs in the field around special issues like concerns of mature women, displaced homemakers. I think these are issues by and large that have been ignored as a normal part of our program delivery systems. And we are concerned within the Bureau that we have the capacity and the resources for the first time to actually do research on the special market concerns, the special needs of certain groups of workers within the labor force, women workers within the labor force, and to be in a position to make recommendations to the department as to where we need to place our priorities from a futuristic funding standpoint of view to address these issues. And I have, for the purpose of the Bureau, identified 5 such target groups that we will be focusing in on. Those groups include women in apprenticeship, and that's to say the need not only to move women into apprenticeship occupations, the construction industry, the whole sphere of non-traditional jobs, but to find ways of beefing up our existing outreach programs that currently exist in the field to make sure that we effectuate a proper kind of match. Certainly the policy decision to call for an affirmative action program in this area was one move in that direction, but that is not enough. We recognize the need at the same time to develop a programmatic response to help the building trades, to help employers, and indeed to help women themselves become aware of the job situation, the resources, how to go, and what to do. We've identified within that target group the special concerns of mature women, embracing within that category the special concerns of displaced homemakers. We are in the process now of currently identifying through our CEDA Prime sponsors the nature of programs that we have funded in this area. I need not tell you that we haven't done very well in this area. We are aware of that. And what we are doing is to pull together what we have done to see what we've learned from those experiences and hopefully how we can build on those models to have a more effective network in this area. In January to this end, we will hold for the first time a policy conference on the special concerns of mature women. That is actually being chaired under the leadership of Belle Sawhill, who is now the new head of the Manpower Policy Commission. We haven't managed to change that name yet. That's one of the things we're working on. But interestingly enough, when ETA, the Employment and Training Administration, changed its name from the old Manpower Administration, there's a special law that we have to go back to the Congress on to actually also change at the same time the name of the old Manpower Commission that Belle Sawhill, who happens to be the first woman to chair of that commission, now has the responsibility for. But Belle will be taking the leadership on this policy conference on the special concerns of mature women in January. And we're optimistic that this conference is also going to further highlight the concerns, the needs in this area, and to point to the need for policy decision, but more importantly, program funds that will be necessary to direct towards this target group. We've identified rural women. By and large, most of our planning, most of our programs are directed towards an urban community. And while we recognize that in terms of the concentration of unemployment as it currently exists today, that there is a need for a stronger and more vital urban policy, we cannot ignore the fact that when we particularly examine rural policy development in its historical perspective, it has historically excluded women. And we are currently in the process now of developing projects and indeed of funding some specific programs that we think are doing some creative things in the field to address the special needs of rural women. We've identified minority teenage females as a target group. This is to give us certainly direct impact on the youth bill that most recently passed, but it's also in recognition of the fact that of the groups that we currently identify in the labor force, there is no question that minority teenage females in particular have the highest unemployment rates of any group that we currently identify and suffer the greatest gaps in terms of employment experiences as a result of that. So that is another target group that by the spring of next year, I am hopeful that we will be moving in terms of some programmatic decisions in this area. And the last group, is low-income women. Low-income women do comprise a priority for the Bureau. For a long time, we have not had the resources or the information bases to have the kind of network that we need in the field at the local level to really reach those who are in need most of our services often. We have been in the process since January of sponsoring a series of consultations throughout the United States with low-income women. These consultations were chaired and organized by the 10 regional offices of the Women's Bureau in the field. And as a part of these consultations, we brought together low-income women to hear directly from them their concerns, their issues, as it related to the various programs that we operate in the Labor Department and what had been the nature of the impact, if any, of those programs from their perspective as low-income women. And as a part of the consultation process, I guess I was quick to realize that we really need not be as concerned about the redesigning of the rhetoric, which to some extent is what we found we were doing as a part of the consultation process, because the issues haven't changed, the concerns haven't changed in terms of the kinds of questions that were being raised, transportation, childcare, just lack of information in terms of knowing where to go to find a job, the necessary counseling, the necessary training that was necessary to even qualify. We did some interesting kinds of profiles by region to see in terms of different parts of the country, did the problems differ? Well, the problems didn't differ in terms of the different parts of the country. It was just that depending on the location, the priorities, for instance, transportation may have been greater in a rural area. The language barrier was certainly more of an issue in the Southwest and on the West Coast, but it wasn't as though there wasn't a commonality in terms of the base of what the concerns were. But as a part of those meetings, we went to our CEDAR officials and we laid out the findings in terms of what had been reported to us, and we won a commitment from our CEDAR officials, not only at the national level, but indeed as a part of the local consultations, to help us develop model programs now to address the needs, to address the concerns of what the women themselves were actually raising in the field. And we're in the process of helping the women to maintain the kind of network that is necessary to qualify them for CEDAR programs, to empower them to develop their own kinds of networks and organizations to bring this to fruition. I could probably go on with other kinds of stories that we're involved in currently in the Bureau. I didn't bring my watch up, but I sense that I've probably talked at least for 15 minutes. So let me just say in summary that I see the Women's Bureau in particular moving more actively and more concretely on two levels with the department. One is to say that we will have greater impact on policy development and policy formulation. Because of our resources and our size, we're not able to cut across every program simultaneously within the department, so we're setting our priorities as well. We started off with apprenticeship and construction. We won that round. We're currently involved in CEDA and getting ready for the CEDA oversight hearings to see what kind of impact we can have there. And after that, we're planning to work very directly and very closely with Assistant Secretary Eula Bingham on some of the real questions of women in the workplace, some of the health and safety issues that are being raised currently, such as the lead hearings that we're currently involved with that have to do with the level of blood content as it affects the fetus. And I might just mention, if you would watch your local papers for when those hearings are going to be held in your regions, it will be very helpful to be a part of that process, to again express your interest and to express your concern for not only the obvious kinds of issues when we talk about employing women and getting jobs, but to realize that there are other kinds of support issues, like the health and safety environment of the workplace itself, once we're in those jobs, that we're also concerned about. And the other level is the direct programmatic involvement. And from that end, we're anxious to hear your views, to hear your concerns, to say to you that we're going to be developing model programs, that we're going to be targeting our programs to reach specific groups of women in the field. And at the same time, we will continue to play a resource, advocacy, information sharing role that the Bureau has always done since its inception, to share as much as we can, as much as we know, on the status of women in the workforce today. Thank you.